Blog Talk Radio.
And you are here today because anyone who ever bet against you was wrong. Because any obstacle that ever dared get in your way, no matter how invincible it may have seemed, it was defeated by your innate power to overcome. You are here today because you are powerful beyond measure. Stop denying yourself of this truth. Your greatest self has been waiting your entire life. Don't you dare make it wait any longer.
A Better Today welcomes you to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free with host, speaker, writer, and personal coach, Steve Maraboli. Steve and his expert guests take you on a quest for truth and highlight philosophies and strategies that help you release your greatest self. It's time to focus on your potential instead of your limitations. Here's your host, Steve Maraboli.
Hey, 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 welcome, welcome. You're listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Hey, you know, you can participate with this show no matter where you're listening, no matter how you're listening. You can participate through AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. You could also participate through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. You know, what's fantastic about being able to do this show and to be able to do it live, streaming live, is that we do get interaction. We do get to participate. So feel free. Don't worry about it. You're not going to overwhelm me. You're not going to overwhelm our emails. Participate. This is what this show is. It's all of us sitting at the dinner table. Maybe we're sitting at the lunch table. It's all of us having a conversation about life, about what the pleasures, the pain, the questions we have. Most of the places you turn for the answers are usually given to you by people who have an interest in the answer they're giving you. And it's kind of like asking a barber if you need a haircut. The barber's going to tell you, yes, you need a haircut. So a lot of places we turn for the answers to life's questions, the answers usually come from a place where somebody benefits from leading us in a certain direction. This show isn't that. This show is us having this conversation, talking about life in a real, no-nonsense, non-politically correct environment where we could just talk about life. What's great about it? What sucks about it? What's challenging? How do we break free? This is what this show is. Every single show we've ever done is available 100% free at empoweredlivingradio.com. Don't forget to check that out. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. Today we're going to be talking about letting go. Let go, daring to be free, daring to liberate ourselves from the people and the things that poison us. Sometimes not even poison us. Sometimes they slowly poison us, or sometimes it's not so much that they poison us as much as it doesn't nourish us. Maybe it blinds us to what's in front of us. So let's talk about letting go today. But first, of course, A Better Today community, what's up, what's up, what's up? Keep doing what you're doing. Never forget the power of one kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. Let's keep doing it. Do not ever stop showing people, not telling people. We can do. This world is fine if those who are trying to teach us morality would stop telling us. The world would be fine if you all stop telling us. But let none of us ever stop showing what we want. Let none of us stop showing what we care for, showing what we want this world to see, showing what we want for our families, for our kids, for our brothers, our sisters, showing the world what we want. It's time to stop telling us about your gods with your words. Start showing us about your gods with your actions. Get out there and make a difference. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. Thank you all so much for participating in this and for spreading the word about the power of one. Let's get to the show. Letting go, dare to be free. We could probably do this is an hour show today, but we could probably do 24 hours on letting go. And if the feedback's already coming in about letting go and what this affects in our lives, the problem we have. So there are countless, and I'm telling you, there are countless now moments of the day. There are now moments of the day. Countless now moments. So you might have a couple in a second. I mean, there's, I think I have it right. I think it's 86,000. I want to say it's 86,400 seconds in a day, in a 24-hour period. So let's say you had one every second, let's just say. That's 86,000 opportunities to seize what today is offering. The problem is, out of those 86,000, we probably, many people don't experience any of them. Any of them. Most experience few of them. And very, very few people experience most of them. I don't believe that you can experience all of them. But you can experience most of them. You can experience a lot of them. But most people don't experience any of them, or very few of them. And when they do experience them, they think they're having an awakening. They think that they're, you know, that light bulb clicked on. And we could have that feeling. You could have that light bulb awakening feeling happen every single day if we learn to let go. Now, there are some things that you can't let go. There are some things that have made you who you are, your memories. You have a part of your brain that won't let you let go. And in some sense, it stores your memories. But the truth is, having a memory stored, remembering something, and living that same thing are two different things. It's not that you can erase that you were abused when you were young. It's not that you could erase that your wife or your husband cheated on you when you were married. It's not that you could erase that maybe you became a widow. You can't erase that maybe you were let go, maybe you were fired, maybe you were just let downsized. It's not that you can erase that. That's not what letting go is. Letting go is looking at the label you place on that. And looking at the impact it has on your life. We all journey through this life. All of us. We all journey through this life. And we pick things up. We pick things up on this journey. We have our luggage, our bags in this journey. And we pick these things up. And I've told you about when I was invited out to the car manufacturers. And I got to go, for those of you who haven't heard me tell this story, I was invited out to a place where they test cars that have been manufactured. And this is while they're still designing them. And I got to look at engineers' work at these wind tunnels. You ever see on TV they have those cool wind tunnels where they blow smoke around these cars to see where the resistance is? It's really neat. So I got to watch that process, and the engineers are looking at the wind go around the car, and they're, you know, typing in their computers and all their calculations. And now I have to confess, I don't really know much about cars, not the dynamics and then the logistics of how they work. I don't know how engines work or anything like that. I'm not a car enthusiast like my brother would be, let's say. So I was watching them do this, and I asked one of the engineers, I said, so what is it, what's the purpose of what you're doing here? And the engineer said, well, we put the car through this process so we can maximize its efficiency and its effectiveness for what it was designed for, which was to be an effective and efficient car. And I said, all right, so you do these calculations, and then do you change the engine? Is that what you do to make it faster and more effective? And the engineer said, no, we don't do that at all. Well, if the engine it comes with is fine. It's the stuff we add on afterwards, this little thing and that little thing. It's the stuff we add on afterwards that sometimes may look better or may look different, but it causes more drag. It actually stops and slows its effectiveness and efficiency. So it's not the engine. The engine it came with is fine. It's the stuff we add on afterwards that affected adversely sometimes. And I thought, well, that's interesting because that's kind of like us as humans, that we are created masterfully. The engine we come with is fine. It's the stuff we pick up along the journey that slows us down. It's the stuff that we pick up along the journey that affects us adversely, affects our efficiency, it affects our speed, and it affects our ability to navigate through this journey of life. It's the stuff you pick up along the way. I was recently at an airport, and I got to, you know, you kind of, I don't know, for those of you who travel a lot, or those of you who travel, traveling sometimes, the process of traveling sometimes could be arduous. It's a security checkpoint and long walks to your gates and then the plane, and sometimes you get out on time, sometimes you're just sitting on the plane for a while before it even moves. And I know it's like that in New York airports a lot, where it's, you know, there's traffic getting to the airport, and then there's traffic for the planes. Once you're at the airport, there's traffic there. They're in line to take off, and there's traffic everywhere. So it could be sometimes an arduous process, and you can't help this. You know, you're not going anywhere. You're sitting down, you're buckled in, and you can't help but think. And I know that on this particular trip, I was thinking a lot from when I took off to landing in New York. I was thinking about so many things, about life, about what I've been through, what I've overcome, what I have ahead of me, the plans that I have ahead of me, and how I'm tackling them, and how I'm doing on my opportunities list, and really thinking about what I've been through and what I'm doing. And as I kind of walk through my way through from the arrival gate through the airport, you kind of just go in a daze and not really paying attention to much, just kind of thinking about the past and the future and that kind of thing. And as we got to the main part where we were finally getting to baggage area, I heard a ruckus. I heard a ruckus. And this ruckus that I heard was actually kids, and their dad had come home from some sort of trip, I'm guessing, and these kids, and they were little kids. They were little kids and loud, loud little kids. And I stopped and watched. You know, I'm a people watcher. And I stopped and watched for a second as these kids kind of like tackled their dad's legs. It was pretty cool, actually, to see. They tackle their dad's legs, and they're so excited to see their dad, and they're yelling, and they're kind of hugging his legs, and it's, you know, he's holding his bags up, trying not to hit the kids in the head because he's holding these bags. He's holding his luggage, and the kids are just trying to, you know, they want him to pick them up, and they want him to pick them up, and they're excited. And I'm watching this process, and I'm thinking to myself, what these kids don't know is that this man, he can't pick them up. He can't embrace them. He can't embrace the love they're sharing with him right now until he lets go of the luggage, the baggage from the trip he came from. And again, I couldn't help but liken that to life. To life. This man could not embrace the now while he was holding on to the luggage from his journey. And for a couple of seconds until he did put them down and pick those kids up, look what he was missing. And you think about that in life, how much we don't see it. At least that man could see his baggage. In life, how many of us walk around being held down and weighted down by the baggage of our journey? You can't possibly embrace that new husband. You can't possibly embrace that new companion. You can't possibly embrace that new wife if you're still holding on to the baggage of the last one. It seems so simple when we're watching it in 3D. It seems so simple when we're watching it at an airport. But when that baggage is in your mind, it's not that easy. And I know the gurus will tell you to just forget about it. But you can't. You can't just forget about it. What you need to do is face it. Look at the labels you place on it and change those labels. What happens is we know the past is in our past, but we don't conduct ourselves that way. We conduct ourselves as if the past is in our present. We label ourselves that way. I'm a widower. I'm a divorcee. We label ourselves that way. I was laid off. We label ourselves that way. We let that instant, we let that circumstance define us. And then move forward, wondering why everything we touch is then a catastrophe. Well, it's because you're injecting yesterday's poison into today's miracles. You're injecting yesterday's poison into today's blessings. And you're not doing it on purpose. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, how could I poison today? How can I poison this brand new day? Nobody wakes up in the morning and says that, yet we do it. We do it because we haven't learned to let go. We haven't learned to face something. As Shakespeare said in Hamlet, you face it and you end it. We haven't learned to do that. We aren't taught that. There's never a commercial that says, are you feeling stressed and overwhelmed? Well, why not sit for a little while and think for a second about what might be stressing you and overwhelming you? Can you look at this in a different scenario? More often than not, it's the label you place on a certain circumstance that causes you stress. It's the fear and regret from yesterday, and it's the insecurity of tomorrow. If you can find a new label to place on this in your mind, you will notice that you will feel less stressed and more healthy. You'll never hear a commercial like that. Instead, the commercial says, do you feel stressed and overwhelmed? Pop 3 of these pills and you'll feel better. Look, we're showing you a picture of somebody walking on the beach. See, they feel better. And then for the other 30 or 40 seconds, which is about 60% of that commercial, you'll hear, please consult your doctor. This pill might make you want to kill yourself. It might make you bleed through your nose and your mouth and your ears and everything else that comes up. But you'll never hear someone say, hey, just face it. The chaos, the fear, the craziness that you have in your life, the poison that you keep finding, in your life isn't seeking you out. You're creating it from not letting go of past poisons. So we look at something and we face it. We give it a funeral. You give it a funeral. You put that thing to sleep. You put it to bed. You put it in its casket and you give it a funeral. But like all other funerals, you make sure you draw out what the good of it was. What did I learn? This relationship, this marriage might have been disastrous. But what did I learn? Let me stop being angry for a second. And let me start being rational. Let me start being, instead of reactive, let me start being responsive. What did I learn from this? In what ways did I contribute to its nastiness? And in what ways can I take what was good? What did I love about this relationship? If it hurt me a lot, it's because I loved it a lot at some point. So let me be honest and ask, what did I love about this relationship? Because let me seek that in future relationships. And what did I not like in relationships? Let me not be that in future relationships. I get whenever we have relationship shows, even though I talk to them, I'm blue in the face about it, I still get the emails and the messages and the feedback that sound, you know, sometimes I got an email from somebody, I don't remember her name or where she was from, but she said something to the effect of, Steve, please help my husband understand me. I've been cheated on many times, and because of that, I now make it mandatory that I'm able to look through his emails and his cell phone. It's not that I don't trust him. I just want to make sure. He's not happy with this. Even though he considers himself trustworthy, he's not happy with me looking through his stuff. But this is me from my pain. Please help him understand that he should allow me to. And as you guys hear this, she's not the only one. Because that's not the only email I've ever gotten like that. I've gotten a bunch that are similar to that. Now, of course, my response to her wasn't what she wanted, I'm sure. But that would be a scenario of a person who hasn't let go. She thinks she has a new husband. She thinks she has one. And if you look at it on paper, she has one. And if you look at them, they have one. But in her mind, she's still in those old relationships. The divorce papers may be signed and sealed, but she's still in those old relationships. How many of us are in old relationships? And it doesn't have to be your intimate ones. You might be in an old relationship at work. You're at your new job, and you're still looking out for the old bosses and the old systems, and you're still bitter about a system that's already forgotten you. You're still bitter about a job that already forgot you. You're still holding on to that bitterness, and you brought that poison to your new job. Your friendships, your jobs, your relationships, that's probably the most common. Most common is that you can't see the new relationship because you're still looking at the old relationship. So anything the new person does that reminds you what the old person does, You know, I don't even have to finish this sentence. You know what I'm saying. The new person's already tried and considered guilty. Without even having a trial, they're considered guilty, all because of the last person. The new person's paying a debt, an emotional debt. They're paying an emotional bill for a debt that they didn't incur. So instead of continuing to poison ourselves, and not just poison ourselves, but to limit and dilute our experience of this world, it's not just poisoning, it's not just these relationships, it's not just missing out on the wonderful new person that's in front of you because you're still angry and bitter and making sure that this person isn't the last person that's behind you, and not just that. It's about all the wonders of your life. For those of you who have been listening to this show before, for those of you who have gotten the Life, the Truth, and Being Free book, you read about the journey awaits, the cruise ship. And it's so true, that cruise ship. You could go on a cruise. I mean, a cruise can take you anywhere. Some of the cruises are magical. Some people take cruises to Alaska. People take cruises to Alaska and they see these incredible mountains of ice and they see these whales jumping out of the water and it's crisp and beautiful and amazing and pristine and the cleanest air you'll probably ever inhale and just beautiful ice and environment that hasn't really changed in what to us is like forever, hundreds of thousands of years. And just seeing this wondrous magic. Other people take cruises and they go to white sand beaches and these pristine things. Maybe you're cruising to the Central and South America and you're taking a look at some of the ruins, the Mayan ruins, and maybe you're cruising to Puerto Rico. Who knows where you're cruising? The point is, these cruises offer so much, and you could be romantic, and you could party it up, and you can get drunk, or you could fall in love, or there's nothing you can do on these cruises. It's amazing. So all of these things can happen while you're experiencing this cruise. It's a wonderful, magical event. However, none of that could happen. None of that can happen unless that cruise ship first lets go of the dock. The dock isn't holding the cruise ship. The cruise ship is holding the dock. And none of that can happen unless that cruise ship first lets go. And many of us are going through our lives and we're navigating through our lives. We're still holding on to the dock. We're just saying, just in case, let me hold on to this dock. We're not allowing ourselves to let go of what's holding us back. We're not allowing ourselves to experience this incredible journey of life because we keep looking in the wrong place. You've heard me mention life. For me, each day is brand new. Each day is like a gift at the foot of your bed. And you get to open that gift every morning. You get to open that gift. And inside that gift, inside that box, is countless treasures and blessings for the day. There are countless things you could experience in the course of your day. However, most people won't look at that beautiful present, that beautiful gift at the foot of your bed every day. Most people are still looking at ones that they've opened a long time ago. They're looking at that gift from 10 years ago, looking for something good to come out of it. Everything in there is gone. Everything in there is gone. And you know how you know everything in there is gone? Because you're saying things like same shit, different day. You're saying things like life sucks, it's nothing new. You're saying things like same old, same old. Those are words and phrases that come out of people that are looking at in boxes that no longer provide anything. You're living in days that have already forgotten you. Instead, you can wake up to the wonder of today. If it's not a blessing for you, it's because you're not seeing the blessing. It's not from lack of blessings. It's from your lack of vision for those blessings. It's because you're looking at something else. If that guy at the airport didn't pick up and embrace his children, it's not because they weren't there. It's because he couldn't, because he kept hanging on to his luggage. The point is, the day is here for you to seize if you would just pay attention to it. We'll talk about that when we get back. We'll talk about paying attention today, and we'll talk about what few people talk about, Let's talk about going back into those relationships, going back into those days that traumatized you. If you're not living today, it's because there was another day, another moment, another time in your life that hit you so hard it traumatized you. It kind of pressed pause in your spirit, and you've been living in that day ever since. Let's get your ass out of that day. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Let's take a quick break. Let's do Dr. King. It's Dr. King Day on Monday. Let's do a quick Dr. King. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest for rights. And so just as I say we aren't going to let any dogs or water hoses turn us around, we aren't going to let any injunction turn us around. We are going on. We need all of you. And you know what's beautiful to me? It's to see all of these ministers of the gospel. It's a marvelous picture. Who is it that is supposed to articulate the longings and aspirations of the people more than the preacher? Somehow the preacher must have a kind of fire shut up in his bones. And whenever injustice is around, he must tell it. Somehow the preacher must be an Amos. He said, when God speaks, who can but prophesy? Again with Amos, let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. Somehow the preacher must say with Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. And he's anointed me to deal with the problems of the poor. And I want to commend the preachers. And I want you to thank them. Because so often preachers aren't concerned about anything but themselves. And I'm always happy to see a relevant ministry. It's all right to talk about long white robes over yonder in all of its symbolism. But ultimately, people want some suits and dresses and shoes to wear down here. It's all right to talk about streets flowing with milk and honey. But God has commanded us to be concerned about the slums down here and his children who can't eat 3 square meals a day. It's all right to talk about the New Jerusalem, but one day God's preacher must talk about the new New York, the new Atlanta, the new Philadelphia, the new Los Angeles, the new Memphis, Tennessee.
Hey, 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 welcome back. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Make sure you check out our website, stevemaraboli.com, abettertoday.com, and empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, and we're other places. We're other places. I mean, I don't know what else you want, but we're other places. You got YouTube, and you'll find our stuff around. Make sure that you please, please, please share. We make everything 100% free for everybody. The only thing that we ask is that you share. Got a couple of books out there, Life, the Truth, and Being Free. plus the power, also the power of one. Both those books are out there and been out there for in this run for about a year, for over a year actually, over a year. So thank you all so much, and remember, 100% of every penny we make from those books go right to A Better Today programs that are running all over the world. So thank you so much. We're talking about letting go, dare to be free. Okay, so life happens. I get it. Believe me, life happens to me also. It happens. But we know that we can't control the events that happen. We do not control the events that happen. However, we do 100% control the label we place on that event. 100%. It's not an easy label. It's not easy to do sometimes. But we 100% control the label we place in the event. So a lot of the things that cause us to spiritually stutter, that cause us to spiritually press pause in our life, isn't so much the event itself. It's usually not the event. It's the label we place on that event. It's not that losing your job wasn't tough. It's that you labeled it catastrophic, and that's why you're having trouble today. You somehow turned yourself into a victim over it. And when you create the victim mentality, this universe, don't forget, this universe just conspires in your favor. You are loved, and we have a faithful universe that conspires in your favor. So if you have a victim mentality, this universe is more than happy to give you reasons that's true. Just like if you didn't have one, it would be more than happy to give you reasons that's true. So you might label yourself in a way, or label the event in a way. Maybe you did get cheated on. Maybe you did get cheated on. That wasn't the issue. The issue is that when you got cheated on, you somewhere labeled, nobody is worthy of trust. Everybody's going to cheat. It's those labels that have poisoned you, not that some idiot cheated on you. And as you bring that into your new relationships, just like if you bring that poison into a new job, nothing good can come of it. Because remember, what we build is what we birth. A new relationship you have, that's a relationship you are birthing. And you cannot possibly give birth to something that you're not. So if you're still skeptical, if you're still filled with poison and anger and suspicion, if you still feel that poison and you give birth to a new relationship, that relationship can't help but have that poison in it. It can't help, and especially in situations like this, when someone gets cheated on, when there's some sort of wrong action there, we tend to think nobody who's ever been cheated on feels that the other person served the true justice. Can we be real for a second? Nobody who's ever been cheated on thinks, oh, well, they paid the price. Nobody thinks that. They feel like that person got off free, that your heart was shredded, and that person's fine. So you can't help. You're a human being. You cannot help but bring that poison and that need for justice to your new relationship. And suddenly the new person's paying for the old person's actions. This is about as common a story as any. What happens if you stop looking at that past relationship and you start looking at the person in front of you? Not gauging them from the person behind you, but looking at them for who they are. How would your relationship be different? How would your life be different? How would your life be different if you stopped going into work, your new job, looking at it like you're engaging it from the old job? How would your life be different? It would be totally different. Because you would be able to seize and embrace something that was happening now. Instead of being, not even embracing, holding on to something that already forgot about you. How would your life be different if you looked at these events and went back into them, not with your bitter anger, but as a student? What happens if you think about your relationship, your failed relationships, let's say, no matter how much drama was in there? How would your life be different if you looked into them, not as a participant, an angry, reactive participant, but instead as a student? And said, let me look at this relationship. What happened? Where did it go wrong? Why did it go wrong? Where did I contribute to this going wrong? Where could I have conducted myself in a healthier manner? Did I stay in it too long? Where could I have learned to jump out, to bail out? Where could I learn to conduct myself? If I'm feeling that they didn't meet my needs, in what ways did I not meet their needs? In what way did I contribute to their bad behavior? These are empowered thoughts, by the way, folks. Empowered thinkers ask themselves questions like, where did I contribute to someone else's bad behavior? Those are empowered thoughts. You see yourself as a dynamic, flowing energy that touches everything and everything responds to what you're doing. That is an empowered thought because, yes, you contribute to all of it. You contribute to the good and you contribute to the bad. We have to recognize that. The contribution may vary. It might be a large contribution, might be a small contribution, but it varies. But we still contribute to every aspect of the relationship. Where did that person come in with poison? What poison did I come into this relationship with? Ask yourself these kinds of questions, and then you go to the final part, which is the best part. Give that relationship its funeral. What good can I take out of this? Well, I learned this, and I learned this, and I learned this. I learned this about myself. I learned that I enjoy this. I learned that I don't like that. I know that this is the type of person I want to be with. I know this is the type of person I don't want to be with. You take what you learned and you bury the rest. And you go into your new relationship with a new sense of who you are. And you're able to see it because you're finally facing in the right direction. You do patrols in the military, and I think I might have told this story. I don't know if I told this story on the show or just in my live audiences, but it fits. It fits. You do these live tours, and you do tours, and if you're in a war zone and you're in a war situation, you do these tours, and sometimes it gets nasty. Sometimes it gets nasty, but the way that they transport troops on the ground is sometimes these trucks, they're big, wide trucks, and it's almost like a cattle truck. It's almost like a cattle truck, and there's a bunch of you just stuffed in there, and there's people standing and people sitting and people, their legs are dangling. Others are standing. Some are sitting regular, and you're all facing in all kinds of different directions. But the people who are in the main part of the truck, they can see each other. And of course they can look around. They have movement of their heads and they have all that motion, but there are people who are sitting towards the back. They're actually facing away from where the truck's heading. They're facing back, and it's a pretty depressing drive that you're facing in the direction where you're coming from. And in this situation, it's a war zone. So the whole ride, you're just looking at the hell that you just came from as you go in that long road You're just looking at the hell you just came from. And even though that hell is getting a little smaller and smaller as it gets further away, you just keep facing it. But a little bit into the ride, after been riding for a while, watching that hell get smaller, you start hearing a commotion up front. You start hearing some of the troops hooting and hollering and screaming and yelling, and it's a somewhat of a celebration. And for those of us facing the back, we didn't know what was going on. We were looking at the hell we were coming from and every memory that comes with it and every psychological and emotional scar that comes with it. We were watching it still, and others are celebrating. Well, what we didn't know is that the people facing forward saw that the base, the home base, was in sight. Safety was in sight. Love was in sight. Freedom was in sight. Those of us in the back were facing the wrong direction. Sometimes in life, folks, it's not that there isn't anything amazing in front of you. It's that you're facing the wrong direction. It's that you're facing the wrong direction. This happens to me all the time. I still catch myself doing this. As the weather gets cold, those of you know I am a huge fan of the summer. Huge fan of the summer. I love beaches. I love sand, and I love wearing as little clothes as possible and running into water. I mean, I'm a huge fan of the summertime, and I catch myself as it's wintertime now. I catch myself dreaming of summer, and I have to catch myself because I can't possibly recognize the beauty of this season if I'm only dreaming of and hoping of the beauty of a past season, hoping for the beauty of a future season. Either way, I'm blinding myself to the beauty of right now. I still catch myself doing that. And when I finally pay attention to the season that is right now, I recognize that it has its own character and its own beauty, something a summertime could never give. And that it has a lot of similar beauties. In the summertime, I always think it's awesome when I see somebody, give on a hot day, give somebody something to drink. I always think that's so great and such a beautiful reflection of the poetry of our humanity. But you know, you see that in winter too. You see that. You see people freezing outside sometimes, and someone's like, "Hey, you want a cup of coffee? Do you want a cup of tea? Or it's do you want to come inside the store for a couple minutes to thaw out?" That's the beauty and the poetry of our humanity, and I would miss it if I wasn't paying attention. What are you missing from not paying attention? Where are you facing from not paying attention? What are you still crying about? Biblical story of Jesus with the woman who was caught in the act. A powerful story. Even if you're not religious, sit with me for a second while I tell you the story, because it applies to everything I'm talking about. Even in this story, we find that this woman, and so for those of you to catch up on the Jesus story, so here Jesus comes, and he's a rebel of his day, and he starts talking. He's talking in many ways the things that we're talking about on this show, actually. He's talking about the dogmatic nature of religion of the day. And he's saying, you guys are experts. You guys are experts at knowing scriptures and studying scriptures, and you become experts at being pious and your ceremonies and your temples and your organizations, but you guys aren't really doing any of it. You're talking about it, you're judging other people, but you're really not doing any of it. So here we so the Pharisees, who were the religious people of the day, the religious rulers of the day, they were in conflict with Jesus because obviously Jesus was bad for business. So that was the big conflict and blah, blah, blah. And one of the stories, the Pharisees are always trying to catch Jesus and to prove him wrong in public. And Jesus, in this story, there's a woman, it just says she's caught in the act. I'm sure that she was caught in the act of some sort of sexual thing, and they drag her through the streets, and they push her on the ground, and the Pharisees, they bring her to Jesus, and they say, "Look, Jesus, look what she was caught doing. What are you going to say about this? Oh, great rabbi," they were mocking him on top of everything, and he doesn't say anything. He doesn't say anything, which to me was a very powerful part of the story, but we're not talking about that part right now. But he actually, this is the story for those of you who aren't biblically familiar. This is the story where he looks up at all the Pharisees who are waiting for Jesus to say, "Well, you know what to do. You got to kill her." And they were all holding their stones ready to kill this woman. They were going to stone her to death. So Jesus stoops next to her and he looks up at them and he says, "He who is out without sin, you know, cast the first stone." So slowly they, of course, all drop their rocks. And I could probably tell this story for an hour itself because there's so many great messages in here. But for this occasion, after Jesus has them drop all their rocks, he finally speaks to this woman. And you can imagine how scared she was. First of all, I'm sure while they were dragging her through the streets, I'm sure they didn't stop calling her all kinds of names, insulting her and berating her. Then she thought she was going to be stoned to death. You can imagine the fear she was feeling. And she's crying into her hands. If you could imagine, she's crying into her hands. We've all seen somebody cry into their hands, or maybe you've cried into your hands. And she's petrified, and she's dirty, and she's insulted, and she's embarrassed, and she was terrified that today would have been her last day, and a cruel death by stoning, and crying into her hands. And Jesus stands her up, still crying into her hands. Jesus says, "Woman, where are your accusers?" And at that moment, she finally picks her head up out of her hands and realizes they're not there. And she says, "Well, I have none." And he says, "Then neither do I accuse you. Go on and sin no more." Now, the point of me telling you this isn't a religious one, but a practical one. That many of us have spent many years, many days, and may still be crying into your hands about for something that has already disappeared. You just haven't noticed it because you have not picked your head up out of your hands. You are crying about a job that has been gone for years. You are crying about a relationship that has been finished for years. Pick your head up out of your hands and look what's in front of you. Everything you thought was there to kill you is already gone. It let you go. Let it go. It let you go. Let it go. how would your life be different if everything that has already let you go, you learned to let go? Everything that's poisoning your day and poisoning your life, you learn to diet from. You know, sometimes the diet we need isn't a diet from food. It's a diet from events and people and a diet of labels. Some of the labels we have in our lives. Some of the labels we have in our lives aren't healthy for us, and we might need to replace them with healthier labels. How would your life be different if you look back into your old relationships, look back into your old habits, look back into your old conditioned thoughts, look back and sorted through the labels that you have placed on events, the labels you've placed on people, the labels you placed on relationships, the labels you've placed on the very things that drive you or nourish you or poison you on a daily basis? How would your life be different if you learned to relabel and to let go? To not look back and not let the past is empty. All you have is right now. Everything else is imagination or memory. All you have is right now. The now moments are surrounding you. That is the only truth. The now moments surround you. Everything else is imagination or memory. And folks, as we learn more and more about the mind, guess what? Memory is imagination also. Because you don't remember things as they are. You remember things as you are. That's why people look back and remember things differently. Because no one actually remembers the event. We remember according to the labels we place on that event. Folks, you got to enjoy the now moments. You got to be in the now to create and experience the wow. You've got to be in the now to recognize the blessings of the day. That, like that man at the airport, he had to be in the now to experience what those kids had to offer. The people on the cruise have to be in the now to enjoy what the cruise has to offer. The people in new relationships have to be in the now to enjoy what that new relationship has to offer. If you don't, you will be doing the equivalent of adding spoiled or rotten ingredients to a recipe you're making. If we wanted to eat something and enjoy it, why would we ever, if we want to enjoy an experience of taking something in, why would we ever incorporate ingredients, something that's time has passed, something that had been spoiled, had been rotten, had been no good? We would never do that. So if you wouldn't do that for your meal, why would you do that for your life? Do not yet let yesterday's labels spoil today's now moment. Free yourself. Go back to every single one of those things and find a new empowering label. Do not poison yourself. Each day is brand new. Each day you have the opportunity to find new labels, to let go, and to dare to be free. Free from the imprisonment of past labels. Free from the poison of past results. And free to live the now moment with wonder and blessings and to enjoy every blessing of every day. Folks, you're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Make sure you check out stevemaraboli.com, abettertoday.com, and empoweredlivingradio.com. Big hugs from New York. Love you all. We'll see you next time.
Better Today would like to thank you for listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free.